collection, which sounds deathly boring, but is actually remarkable and amazing.
We call that something you know, something you have, and something you are.
But it also has a price, right?
So there is no magical solution.
Thanks very much for this box of tricks. Let's see what we can do with it.
Hi, I'm Alex Cohen, and alongside my co-host Nathan Jeffai, we welcome you to Zero Barriers, a six-part series on Decentralized with Cointelegraph podcast. This special is being brought to you in collaboration with Starkware, the company developing Starknet. Together with various participants from the Starkware ecosystem, members of the Cointelegraph team will explore how to break down the barriers to mass adoption of the blockchain technology. Get ready to unlock limitless possibilities. That's right. There are zero barriers. Welcome to episode 2 of our special series called Zero Barriers. It's being brought to you in collaboration with Starkware. Today, we're joined by a duo that's at the forefront of blockchain development. We have Starkware's head of product, Avihu Levy, and the founder of Bravos, Motti Lavi.
Yeah, I feel that we have like a really dynamic discussion today because, Avihu, you're the guy who was here who said, okay, we're building the Starknet protocol. It's really important that this function, account abstraction, which sounds deathly boring, but is actually remarkable and amazing, you ensured together with your team that that was in there, baked into the protocol. I believe it's actually the only protocol, Starknet's the only protocol with that baked into it. So you've kind of created that functionality. And Motti, you're one of the guys who's come along and said, okay, thanks very much for this box of tricks. Let's see what we can do with it.
So Motti, can you maybe take 30 seconds or a few sentences to explain to us what account abstraction is?
Yeah, so first of all, account abstraction is a horrible name. We can think of that as the smart contract wallets. But if to dive a bit and explain really what account abstraction is, it basically means that unlike traditional wallets, which are client-side only wallets that generate your keys, sign your transaction and send them to the blockchain, smart contract wallets and account abstraction has actually two sides to that. There is the client side, like the traditional wallets, and there is the account contract side that sits on chain. And all of your transactions as a user go through this account smart contract. And the value in that is that we can add both custom signature verification logic, meaning we can verify any signature we want in the way we want to verify, and also custom execution logic to each and every one of my transactions, which allows us to do things like daily withdrawal limits and allows us to do account segmentation and allows us to do many things that we know and used to from TradFi and currently do not exist in crypto.
So speaking of the subjects of today's podcast, the issues and the teething pains of blockchain tech, the first thing that comes to mind for me as a user, first and foremost, is the user interface. And when I speak to some of my friends and even colleagues, when we try out new products or I suggest that my friends that are not crypto native try something, it's one of the first things that comes up for them as an issue. So how do you think we can get the people on board and accustomed to the way crypto works? And perhaps what do we need to do to make it easier to onboard new people, in your opinion? Motti, can you give us your vision?
Yeah, sure. So I think it's not making people accustomed to how crypto works, but the other way around. We need to build good software solution that will bring what we call everyday user to the crypto world and to feel comfortable to use crypto solutions. Now, you know, our background as the team at Bravos, we came from the Web 2 world. And the big difference that we saw from Web 2 to Web 3 is that in Web 2, everything is around reducing friction to the users, making things as easy and simple as possible in the shortest possible way. And the crypto model is like 180 degrees the opposite, because in crypto, all the burden is on the user's shoulders. They need to take care of their private keys. They need to know what private keys are. They need to be careful not to make any, even a single mistake, or their all their funds are gone. And that's not really a good way to scale crypto into the masses. So for us, it was like a very interesting UX challenge. And luckily, Starknet and the account abstraction came into maturity at the exact right time in order to bring this vision into reality. The vision, I call it Web2 UX with Web3 values. So you can get the experience like the experience with Web2, but you don't give up the values of decentralization and self-custody that makes crypto so unique and important.
So Vitalik, the co-founder of Ethereum, has been actually talking about this function, account abstraction, or kind of for a more friendly name, smart wallets, have been talking about it in a recent post and really positioning it as something that is key to Ethereum's success. Why is it so key and why is it so important? And kind of tell us a little bit about that, both in relation to your own product, but in a wider sphere as well, Motti.
So I think that a good analogy could be the difference between traditional crypto wallets and smart contract crypto wallets is like the difference between the old mobile feature phones that we had, the old Nokia, and the smartphones like the iPhones. So both our phones, both can make calls and send messages.
The people who listen to it, they are familiar with the Nokia phone.
There are still Nokias around today. My little daughter has one actually, and they're indestructible and hold their charge forever.
Yeah, so they had their merits, but no doubt that smartphones, on top of making calls and enabling text messaging, brings a lot more into the table. And I think the same is true when you look at traditional wallets versus smart contract wallets. You can actually bake into smart contract wallet any logic that you can think of. So any logic around any transaction that goes through the blockchain can be coded and can be enforced by the chain before you interact with any other protocol on chain. And we can give some examples to make it more tangible. But in essence, this new, I would say, playground or this new domain space allows us to do things that weren't possible before and really improve the UX dramatically.
Yeah, I think in Starknet, it's actually users do have direct interactions with Starknet. It's not just talking to projects. There is a lot to be taken from the user's perspective when it comes to bridging or when it comes to the network itself. I want to relate to what Motti said. Normally, it's very hard to change things in crypto, and it's very hard to do things in scale or work with different cryptography because you start with some set of rules, and it's hard enough to make this set of rules work. And then from time to time, when you interact with the real world, you find out that the real world slightly with different set of rules, with different set of systems, with different set of hardware that you did not anticipate it. And one of the wonderful points in account abstraction and also supported by Starknet is that it let the outside world bring the flexibility into the protocol. So I'll give a very simple example and I'll try to remain on the high level here. When you go to Ethereum or to Bitcoin, you have a very specific set of rules on how do you sign. And you need to obey this set of rules if you want to use the protocol. That means, for example, that if you want to change the way that you sign, for example, if you want to sign not with a specially produced hardware wallet, but instead if you want to sign with your phone using Face ID, then you either need to change the protocol or you need to enable users to support this Face ID signature in a way that wouldn't change the protocol. And account abstraction is exactly the way to take the outside world limitations and enable users to use them without changing the protocol.
Yeah, exactly. I think that if we talked about the whole new design space and the custom logic that we can add to transactions and to signatures, then a Vue example is fantastic. And maybe if to take it to something that people know from everyday lives, is the fact that I think almost every service today on the internet has what we call two-factor authentication. Like you want to get into your email, you need to log in with your password and maybe confirm something on your mobile. And for more sophisticated stuff, you have applications which are dedicated to do two-factor. And the funny thing is that even my app for ordering food has two-factor authentication, but in crypto, we don't have two-factor authentication. We protect huge amounts of money, but it's protected only by these 12-word seed phrase, which is notoriously bad and subject to phishing attacks and malware, etc. And this basic service that we know from Web2 does not exist. And what Avi just mentioned is the fact that we can have custom signature verification enable us to bring two-factor authentication or in general multi-factor authentication into the realms of crypto and make users' account and users' wallet much more secure.
I want to go a bit deeper, and because account abstraction does not just help with authentication, it's kind of is programmable logic. What you can do with it goes much further. And so, for example, Visa has been experimenting with account abstraction on StarkNet, which is an interesting example of what can be done with it in terms of user control of accounts. Abhi, will tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a very important point, Nathan. We mainly mentioned so far account abstraction in the context of how users are verifying themselves. But users can back into the protocol, not just or into account abstraction, not just how the verification works, but in practice, basically many, many other things. For example, what can they do with the money? So not just who is capable for spending, but also what are the rules that I can enforce on me spending money. So it's very natural for people when they go to their bank account, they have this intuition that if they go to an ATM, they can only withdraw up to a certain amount. Nobody goes to an ATM and expect to withdraw $1 million. And in the same way, it's very natural for people to use things like ongoing payment. Like, I want to pay every month to Netflix, right? I don't want every month to go to my bank account and ask to pay to Netflix. So those are the kind of functionalities on the real world that people are used to do. But when it comes to crypto, they don't have it on their native account. And those are just a very small subset of the things that you can actually do with account abstraction. So when it comes to, for example, limitations on withdrawals, you can, as a user, suggest what are the limitations on a simple withdrawal from your account and what requires more authentication or more users or more permissions. So, for example, there will be a difference between how much you can withdraw daily with a simple authentication and what is the level of authentication if you want to withdraw 50% of your account. Another example is a recurring payment, like I said. But the nice things about account abstraction, it doesn't even have to be on a monthly basis. There is this great flexibility that comes with, for example, streaming payments, where one can decide that a payment will be ongoing on a very long period of time, but with a quantity that is not a month or a week or a day, but can be a much more lower granularity of the payment. And so if, for example, I decide to pay Moti on video streaming, then the payment doesn't have to be monthly. It can be as long as I'm taking the services from him. It can be like constant payment. And Moti can come at each point in time and claim the relevant part from that he already gained from me without waiting for a specific point in time, I don't know, the first of the month or once a week. And it can go with video streaming, it can go with salaries. The use cases and the possibilities are almost limited.
The possibilities are endless in terms of the information you're sucking in as well. I mean, you could set up that every time the temperature goes above a certain amount, Avihu transfers to Nathan the equivalent of $2 as a popsicle fund or any other set of logic, right?
Yeah, I'm on purpose sticking to the very basic things from the everyday life that people are used to, because very often in crypto, you hear the word be your own bank. Like, you hear this sentence quite a lot around, but there are all these small things that people are used to do with their funds that are very trivial outside of crypto and are very new to crypto. And that's where account abstraction brings a lot of strengths in both small, simple, useful.
Yeah, that's what I think I want to concentrate on, because like when we talk to about things like Face ID verification, you know, direct debit payments, they have been around for years at this point. But then now we're talking about it in terms of crypto and we're saying that this is a big deal. This is a big breakthrough. I mean, it's going to kind of be difficult to explain why we are so excited about it, because those things have been around. So what is kind of the main thing or main things within crypto and blockchain that make it so kind of difficult and so special for those kind of initiatives and technologies that have been around to be implemented? Moti, do you have an opinion on that?
You are absolutely right that they've been around, but they haven't been around in crypto. And I think that the main challenge in crypto is that real crypto is something which is decentralized, meaning we don't have a central server that can control all clients. And real crypto is self-custodial. And when you combine both of these elements to offer an experience which is on par of Web2 that has central server and has a lot of information about the user and each and every interaction and each and every operation that the user is doing goes through the central server and the central server is aware of, that's a major technological effort. And here exactly is where the smart contract wallet and account abstraction come into play, because they actually take the role of this central server, but in a completely decentralized way. Meaning, as Aviv explained earlier, once on Starknet, for example, each and every one of the user transactions goes through the account smart contract that is built on chain. This is, you can think of that as an equivalent to each and every operation in the Web2 world go through the central server before it gets executed. And as we said before, this opens a whole new design space of things that we can do in crypto that we couldn't done before. And some of these is the examples that we just gave, like signature verification and using your face ID or your fingerprint in order to authenticate yourself and to send transaction on the network. So again, the fact that we couldn't do that before, like this is trivial. Why Bitcoin not do that? Why Ethereum did not do that? Is because, as Aviv explained, Ethereum and Bitcoin has their signature flow is rigged into the protocol. There is no room for any external logic. If you want to change something, you need to change the protocol. With smart contract wallets and account abstraction, you don't need to change the protocol in order to add this logic. You simply add that to your account smart contract and it's automatically being executed on each and every of your transactions.
Avihu, it sounds like if we're going to start putting even more microtransactions on the blockchain, it's going to increase the load. But like we've been talking for years about, you know, how Bitcoin blockchain is overloaded, how the Ethereum blockchain is suffering, and how the merge is kind of the step to get that fixed. Given those examples, are we going to just be putting the blockchains under more stress because they're not kind of able to handle what we're currently throwing at them, but it sounds like we want to do even more?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think what we give with account abstraction is flexibility. And flexibility often comes with a price. And that price is that you need to support more throughput, you need to support more computation. In general, more flexibility means that you need to support more things. And that's why you need a more scalable platform that can take and support most of this flexibility. And it's true with micropayments, can be true if you are starting to use it on a massive scale, for example, for streaming payments. But it's also true, it's even true for the small things. Even Face ID, something that Apple came with, uses a very specific set of cryptography. Nobody would necessarily predict this set of cryptography in Ethereum or Bitcoin before. But it also has a price, right? Like, since you didn't predict this type of cryptography and suddenly Apple decided that this is how you are going to sign stuff with your Face ID, you need the capability in your technology to support cryptography that is different, potentially more expensive than the native cryptography in your chain. So that also means lots of throughput. And Starknet is one platform that can help both in terms of throughput, more transactions, more payments, but also in terms of more computation, more flexibility into how do you do things, how do you sign all things. And that's the perfect combination, right? You don't just give the flexibility, but then can support the throughput. You can have the flexibility and actually support. That's one powerful feature of Starknet.
Yeah. So if I can add to that, as a developer on Starknet, we see Starknet two major advantages. The first one is very low gas fees, which makes computation that are economically non-viable on Ethereum L1 suddenly be completely economical. So we can do much more computation at a much lower cost. And this is critical for adding all this logic to transactions and to accounts and wallets that we've discussed. And the second thing which we are circling around in this conversation is the fact that on Starknet, we have this account abstraction baked into the protocol that each and every user transaction goes through an account smart contract before it interacts with other protocol on chain. And these two elements combined together are extremely powerful, and this is what opens the design space for actually coding everything that we want into the chain.
One connected issue, connected to kind of the issue of UX that you and I have spoken about in the past, Motti, is actually something we don't like to talk about a lot in crypto, which is a really basic function that you would expect from a bank or wherever else, which is what happens at the end of my life? What happens to my crypto assets at the end of my life? And Motti, we've spoken about what's sometimes called the dead man switch. I think you called it the knocked over by a bus in the road function. Tell us how account abstraction can help that.
Short, succinct name.
Yeah, so that's maybe not a pleasant topic, but certainly something that we want to address. People holding more and more of the wealth in crypto, and they want to make sure that if something happens to them, the loved one can get access to that. And as we said, since we can code any logic that we want into our account smart contract, we can also code the logic of what happened if I did not interact with the account for X amount of time. And this could be each user can decide for himself or for herself what I want to do, whether if I did not interact for 3 months, you automatically send the funds to these and these addresses, or if I did not interact for a certain amount of time, there is some sort of a guardian that can take control of the account and split the funds there. Again, as we said, any logic that we want to embed into the account, we can now do that, and it will be enforced by the blockchain forever.
Yeah, let's move on. So on to the next question. Speaking of other things that are perhaps tough to discuss, Motti, can you maybe elaborate on the nature of the relationship between account abstraction or smart wallets and security?
There's so many aspects. Yeah, I think that that Motti mentioned earlier one aspect of the 12 words. And what do you want to touch about it?
Yeah, maybe if we zoom out and we will do a bit of an education about security, we can say that today in the security world, there are 3 main types of security. We call that something you know, something you have, and something you are. Something you know is usually a text password, a PIN code, or some sort of pattern. Something you have is a physical device that, for example, if I have that, then a view doesn't have it. And something you are relates to your biometric identity. It could be your face, your fingerprint, your retina. And a good form of security is considered to have at least 2 out of these 3. When preferably it's number 2 and number 3, meaning something you have and something you are, because the something you know is considered to be the weakest form.
You don't always know it, and
you don't always know it. You sometimes write it on a piece of sticky note and put it next to your screen. It gets lost. It gets phished constantly. It is susceptible for malware attacks and so forth. And unfortunately, in crypto, we mostly use the something you know, the notorious 12-word seed phrase. And that's not good. And if we are talking about scaling crypto to everyday users, then that won't work. And here, in order to implement the something you have and the something you are, account abstraction helps us in a long way, because as we said, we can implement any signature verification logic that we want. And in this aspect, for example, when you use Bravos and you use our feature, which we call Pablo Signer, you actually use the something you have, which is your mobile device, and the something you are, which is your biometric identity, in order to sign transaction and have them being verified by the protocol. And if you want, I would say something which is, I think, might escape some crypto users. If you really think about that, all self-custodial wallets today are one software upgrade from being fully custodial. So I will say that again. All crypto wallets today are one software update away.
Software framework.
From being fully custodial. Meaning if MetaMask decides tomorrow to upgrade the software and take control of your keys, they can do that. And they can take all the money out of your wallet. Now, with solutions like smart contract wallets and Bravos, who employ hardware signer that uses your mobile device security chip and your biometric ID, there is nothing that we as a smart contract wallet provider can do, no software upgrade that we can ship that can steal your funds. Because even if we ship a software update, the transactions still need to be signed on your device, on your physical device, with your biometric ID being authenticated and verified on the blockchain. So no client-side software update can help turning the wallet from self-custody to fully custodial like traditional wallets.
Very strong point. I want to just point out on a different aspect of security, one that is often, we are very used to it from the everyday life, but it almost doesn't exist in crypto, is this fact that when you work with a wallet, let's say you have cash in your wallet and you lose your wallet, what it normally means is that you lost your cash. Sometimes you have also maybe credit card, and then the risk is, okay, maybe somebody stole the credit card and he goes to an ATM and he steals some funds. But you know it's limited. You are almost never worried that if you lost your physical wallet, you're going to lose all your money in your bank account. There are different levels of permission and different mechanisms between losing your wallet or whatever credit card your credit card can do and like having your bank account fully emptied. And in crypto, it's not always the case, right? Like sometimes if you use, your hardware wallet, then it has access sometimes to all your funds. So this physical device that if you carry it on you, you can't really use it on the everyday life. It has to be either you use it in on one very not secure side or you store it in a very secure way. And things like daily limitations and different authentication method and different limitations on how you withdraw little money from a lot of money is another important aspect of security here, because you know that losing the everyday thing that you are using, like whatever, your phone, can now only affect in a limited loss of funds and not in all your funds being lost.
I think that's a great point. Alex, you asked about security and Avihu mentioned hardware wallets. So I think that with hardware wallets, we have two main problems that, again, account abstraction comes into the rescue. So the first issue with hardware wallets is that they'll, first of all, there's another device that the user needs to buy and needs to learn how to operate and needs to maintain, etc., which is very high friction for everyday users. And the second thing is that eventually, even hardware wallets, although it is called a hardware wallet, is boiled down into these 12 or 24 word seed phrase. So if I know Avihu's hardware wallet seed phrase, which again, if you remember in the authentication type, this is something you know, then I can easily gain control over his account, even if I don't have his physical hardware wallet. That's a limitation today of hardware wallets that, again, account abstraction and features like the hardware signer completely solve. Another thing to bear in mind, so not only that you get a much better UX and you sign transactions like using Apple Pay or Google Pay, but you also get a much higher level of security, not only from software-only solution like the MetaMask of the world, but also from the hardware wallets, the likes of Ledger, etc.
Anywho, when we talk about, you know, this technology as a product, let's say, and of course it's, you know, we're breaking ground with it. This has never been done before in crypto, and we are exploring new boundaries. Like the first thing that comes to mind when it comes to security is how like secure the product will be and if the users are going to get hurt potentially on the kind of the first try. In your mind, should there be some kind of development standards for the people that are working with the technology, or there should be some kind of even maybe regulation when it comes to that? Because it looks like what we're getting to is microtransactions that can be coded to almost do anything.
I think that there is most of the time, except maybe if you're a power user, there is an extra layer between users and the protocol. And this extra layer is exactly what wallets are doing. So wallets are the ones through standards, through libraries, through shared work between them, but also through their product. They are the ones that communicate the capabilities into actual functionality for the user. So most users won't show up and say, hey, I want this feature, let me code it into my own account abstraction, very specific one, but rather they will come and say, hey, let me use, for example, Bravos, and Bravos will expose to this user all those functions. There should be and there is a way to work with account abstraction so that many eyes in Bravos, in Argent, in other libraries, they all look at the same standard, at the same corner. At the end of the day, they may expose very different functions for the user, but they understand very well the underlying technology and they're the ones that should communicate it to users.
But is there a risk that, for example, a company that uses the technology, develops on it, gets something wrong and it kind of impacts their users? Like, is there a fail-safe from your side, or should there be one?
So I think it's like any other smart contract that is on-chain. For example, if we take the most popular DAX on-chain today, Uniswap. If Uniswap has a bug in their smart contract, then all the users exposed. And with smart contract wallets, this is the same. So if the smart contract wallet vendor has a bug in the smart contract account, then the users will be exposed. As we know in crypto, there are various ways to tackle this in order to make sure that these things won't happen. Things like audit and functional verification and bounties, and of course the classic NIMBY effect, which means that as long as things are alive and working, the higher probability is that they will continue to be live and working. So there is no magical solution. Bugs can always happen, but it's no different than, you know, that any other protocol or smart contract that runs on chain.
So, I mean, all of this stuff is so thought-provoking. It gets you kind of glancing into the future. Maybe I can just hear from you, Abhihu and Motti. 5 years in the future, how am I going to be using this? What will I be doing on my smartphone to use an account abstraction on a daily basis?
I think the main point I would say is that we don't really know. We are giving here some new flexibility for users, for wallets that wasn't there before, definitely not as the default. So we are going to see many more users that are using smart wallets. And we really just, I personally don't think we can predict what kind of uses we will see in the future. I will say that it's very clear to me that even today, for various reasons, it's much easier to pay on the blockchain than in traditional finance for various reasons and various use cases. So I hope that this technology will bring people using this in 10x, 100x, or 1000x more than what we see on blockchain today.
Yeah, so I agree with Viu that we can predict. It's hard to predict, but we have a vision. And our vision is to bring the Web2 user experience into Web3 without compromising on the Web3 values of decentralization and self-custody. And in that sense, I think that going forward 5 years into the future, all wallets will be smart contract wallets. And that will be the default, like all smartphones today, or at least the vast majority of phones today are smartphones. So this is our vision. This is what we strive to achieve. And hopefully in 5 years, people won't think twice on making transactions and payments on crypto, similar to they not thinking twice on making transactions and payments with the Apple Pay or Google Pay.
Great insight, Abhihu, Motti, and Nathan. Thank you. Do stay tuned for the next episode.